Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
Summer of 1970, when Detective Inspector Cardwell of Scotland Yard took a well-deserved holiday. It was the first real break he'd had in 5 years, and he decided he was going to make it a holiday to remember. So he went to a travel agent and booked his wife and himself on a Mediterranean cruise. I've called my story Busman's Holiday.
What do you say, Rose?
Oh, it's a lovely cabin. Everything's so spick and span. It all looks completely new. And I was expecting bunks, not these lovely divans.
Well, that shows how many years it's been since we were on a boat.
We were never on a boat like this one. To tell you the truth, Bill, I never really believed we'd make it. Even after you'd booked and everything, I was sure something had come up and we'd have to cancel the holiday.
Oh, yeah. I've been crossing my fingers ever since I got the tickets. Chase someone at the yard and go down with chicken pox or something and then have my leave postponed again.
It was mumps.
What?
Last year. It was mumps. Johnny Rennie.
Oh, yes, so it was, yeah. Anyway, here we are, and we'll be sailing in half an hour. So they can all take mumps or anything else they fancy, and I'll hear about it when I get back. Ah, here are our two steamer chairs with our names on them.
Not many people on deck yet. Only the early birds like us. Oh, I felt like a film star having breakfast in the cabin.
Well, I thought that just for the first morning it would be a good idea to do it in style. No, there's no reason why we can't have breakfast in the cabin every morning. We'll see how we do.
Oh, I meant to bring up my knitting with me.
Well, I'll go down and get it for you.
No, you sit where you are and read your book. I need my pattern as well, and you wouldn't know which one it was. I won't be long. There's nothing you want while I'm down there.
No, not a thing. Ah, well, where did I stop last night? Page 72. Science.
Mr. Cardwell?
Yes?
Oh, forgive me for intruding. My name is Dudley, Gavin Dudley.
How do you do, Mr. Dudley? It's a lovely morning, isn't it?
Yes. And I believe you're from Scotland Yard, Mr. Cardwell. At least that's what I was told.
Were you now? Who told you that?
My cabin steward. And are you a detective inspector, as he said?
Yes, Mr. Dudley. In my official capacity, I'm a detective inspector.
Oh, I know I've no right to impose on you, Inspector, but I need your help.
Mr. Dudley, I'm a passenger on this cruise, just like anyone else.
Yes.
If there's anything worrying you, the purser is the man you should speak to.
Really? It isn't a problem I can take to the purser. It would sound, it would sound too melodramatic. But with all the experience you must have had, I know that nothing would surprise you.
Yes. Well, then, tell me about it.
Inspector, I've reason to believe that someone on board this ship is planning to murder me.
What makes you say that?
Perhaps I better start at the beginning.
Yeah, well, that's always a good idea, sir.
I'm a fairly wealthy man, Inspector. 6 months ago, my son was killed in a climbing accident. My wife died several years ago. My son, obviously, would have been my heir.
Obviously.
The accident was given fairly prominent coverage in the newspapers. And a few days later, I was paid a visit by Eric Breyer, the twin son of a deceased cousin of mine. He came to remind me that he and his twin were now my only living relatives and legally must inherit from me. Certain of my properties are entailed, you see, and some of the money which was left to me must by law go to them on my death.
Yes, and so this Eric Breyer came to see you.
Yes, I'd never met him before. I barely remember his mother, my cousin. I've a vague recollection that she married a strange type of man. It was mentioned in the family. Not to put too fine a point on it, Inspector, it was believed that he was a criminal.
What kind of criminal?
I couldn't really say it. It was something. It wasn't something that was discussed very often.
So it was more of a family rumor, eh?
Yes.
But this Eric Breyer and his twin are legally entitled to inherit money and property on your death?
Oh, yes.
Well, it's not really too strange that they should make contact with you, is it?
But you don't understand. Breyer came to see me and demanded money from me. A down payment, he called it. Oh, I refused, of course. Apart from anything else, his coming at that time, so soon after the tragedy of my son was... it was ghoulish. And it showed that he had been carefully taking note of previous deaths in the family. A few years ago, it would have seemed impossible that the Breyer twins would ever inherit. But as so often happens, quite suddenly, a family seems to die out.
Yes. Well, I can see that you're not very happy that this Eric Breyer and his twins should be your heirs. From what you said, well, there's nothing you can do about it. And because you were asked to advance the money doesn't necessarily suggest that your life's in danger.
Oh, but it is, Inspector. It is. His manner that day he came to see me was frightening. And when he left, his final words were, "If you insist on being stubborn, it's your funeral." And he laughed.
Yes. Mr. Duffy, I'm sure you found it very unpleasant, but I don't think you've any real reason to worry. No, why don't you just try to put it out of your mind and enjoy the cruise?
Oh, but how can I when Eric Breyer is on the ship? He's on the ship, Inspector. And I know he's here for the sole purpose of murdering him.
I see. Yes, well, Mr. Dudley, I suggest that we both go to the purser and tell him your story. For one thing, I've no authority aboard this vessel, and if you really are of the opinion that an attempt may be made on your life, it should be reported.
Now that Mr. Dudley's gone, Inspector, how much truth do you think there is in his story?
I'm not sure. When he first spoke to me, I immediately labelled him as some kind of crank.
Yes.
You do get them, you know. They want to be the centre of attraction. Not the most unlikely people. But now that you've confirmed that Eric Breyer is on board, I think we have to give serious consideration to what Mr. Dudley's told us.
Yes. Have you any suggestions as to what precautions we might take?
Well, we have to go carefully, or we may find ourselves getting into deep water. If you'll pardon the expression. Well, we can't go around making accusations without proof. And even if Breyer did threaten Dudley, we only have Dudley's word for it. All Breyer has to do is deny it, and that's that. One man's word against another's. Yeah.
So there's nothing we can do except wait and see what happens.
Yes, but I'll make a point of getting to know Breyer. And although it's not what I intended when I came aboard, I think you can spread the word around that I am a detective inspector from Scotland Yard. Mm. It might have some effect if Breyer does have murder in mind. You might think twice about it, with a representative from the yard on the premises, so to speak.
Inspector Cardwell's cruise had already turned into a busman's holiday, and he found himself keeping an eye on both Gavin Dudley and Eric Breyer. But as he had said to the purser, you can't accuse a man without proof. And it was still the possibility that Dudley's story was a product of his imagination. For with his long experience, Cardwell knew how strange human beings can be, and that even the most outwardly respectable and dignified people can have curious lapses. And so the cruise continued.
I promised to play whist this morning. Oh, but no, I wish I hadn't. I'm so lazy, all I want to do is to sit here and look at the sea.
Oh, that's exactly how I feel, but I've got a table tennis match to play in another 10 minutes.
I couldn't be energetic if you paid me. Oh, I'm so relaxed, it takes me all my time to stand, let alone play table tennis. Who are you playing with?
Eric Breyer.
Oh, yes, keeping him under surveillance. A fine holiday it's turning out for you.
I could have done without old Dudley crying on my shoulder. But it's not so bad, really.
I think people have got a nerve. What would they do if someone asked them to work on their holiday and unpaid at that? And not just on their holiday. You try and ask a shop assistant to serve you 1 minute before closing time, or phone up an office when they're all packed their things away for the day and just see what sort of service you'll get. They take it for granted that a policeman should be at their beck and call regardless.
That's one of the hazards of joining the force in the first place. Perhaps they don't get all hot and bothered, Maz. You know better than that by this time.
Oh, I should. I've had enough practice all these years. But Mr. Dudley should have reported the matter when Breyer first threatened him. He should have put in an official complaint. Then maybe somebody else would be looking after the case.
Well, he didn't. And he didn't know that Breyer was coming on the cruise. And we've no way of knowing whether the whole thing's fact or fantasy. So, keeping an eye on is the only thing I can do. Oh, and it doesn't take all that much out of me. Well, I suppose I'd better make a move in the direction of the table tennis. A bit of exercise will do me good. And what's more, I won't have to think about Dudley. Not while I'm playing with Breyer.
Trot. Oh, you're too good for me, Inspector.
Only just. Oh, that took it out of me.
Yes, Andy. I think a couple of cold beers are called for. What do you say?
Oh, lead me to them.
Still, two cold beers, please.
Cardwell. Inspector Cardwell.
Oh, someone calling you. It's a person, I think.
Inspector Cardwell.
So it is.
You looking for me, Mr. Everett?
Yes. I've been looking for you all over. It's Mr. Dudley. His steward heard a shot, went into his cabin and found him.
Dead?
Yes, dead.
Shot at close range.
So, it wasn't imagination. He was telling us the truth when he said his life was in danger.
Well, the only problem is that the chief suspect is a cast iron alibi. Dudley was on deck 10 minutes before he was murdered. Well, there are dozens of witnesses to testify to that. He went down to his cabin where someone shot him. But that someone wasn't Eric Breyer. He was with me playing table tennis. He wasn't out of my sight for a second.
So Breyer didn't shoot him. Then who did?
That, Mr. Everett, is the question.
Mr. Dudley could have other enemies, couldn't he?
Well, it's not impossible.
With all the stories you hear of industrial espionage and cutthroat big business deals, I suppose it could have been some business rival.
Well, you can't rule out anyone in a murder case.
Except Eric Breyer, but he couldn't have been in two places at once. Not unless he was twins.
But he is a twin, Mr. Everett. Now, wait a minute. Let me work it out. Well, since Mr. Dudley is dead, let's accept the story he told us with no doubts. Let's take it that Eric Breyer did threaten him and came on this cruise with murder on his mind. But for the moment, we'll rule out the possibility of other enemies and concentrate on Breyer.
He'd have had to plan the murder in such a way that he had a cast-iron alibi, because he couldn't be sure that Mr. Dudley would keep their relationship quiet, so automatically he'd have been a suspect.
Of course. As far as I know, Mr. Dudley didn't broadcast the relationship. But as you say, Breyer couldn't be sure that he'd keep quiet about it.
So, Breyer comes on board and he soon discovers that I'm a passenger. Mm. Well, he's no doubt seen me talking to Mr. Dudley. It wouldn't take much to put two and two together and figure out that Dudley had confided in me, particularly as I made a point of getting to know Breyer. So, he decides to use me as his alibi.
Well, his twin committed the actual deed. Is that your theory, Inspector?
Yes. They both stand to gain by Dudley's death. They both inherit. And contrary to most detective stories, Mr. Abbott, in real life it's usually the most likely suspect who are guilty of the crime. And money is one of the strongest motives there is.
So then you think Eric Bly's twin is also on board?
Well, I think it's a distinct possibility. For all I know, it may have been the twin I was playing table tennis with and not Eric Bryer himself.
Well, if the twin is on board, he's not on the passenger list. So he must be a stowaway. But that mightn't be so difficult if you have a twin brother on board.
Mr. Everett, I want all the passengers assembled in the main lounge. All of them, And we'll keep them there while we go through the rest of the ship with a fine-tooth comb.
Searching for Bryer's twin.
That's right. And I want to question the stewards. Find out what food Breyer has ordered in his cabin. How many drinks? For how many people? Little details of that nature.
Yes.
Well, let's get started, Mr. Everett. I was so sure, so certain.
Well, you could still be right, Bill. Breyer's twin could still be on board, but so well hidden that they just haven't managed to find him yet.
They searched everywhere, Rose. And Breyer's had no cabin service at all. Not even a drink or a sandwich. He's had all his meals in the dining saloon and all his drinks either on deck or in the lounge.
Is there any chance that someone else murdered Mr. Dudley?
No. You know what I've often said to you, Rose? With some cases, you're working completely in the dark. But with others, you know who's the guilty party. Without a shred of real proof, you know. You can feel it in your bones.
And your bones tell you it's Eric Bryer.
Yeah, and he's sitting there laughing at me.
He did seem very relaxed when we were all in the lounge. Full of jokes as everyone was called in for questioning.
Yeah, and still full of jokes when his turn came.
Well, if nothing else, it was in bad taste. I know some of the other passengers thought so. After all, a man had been murdered.
And it was Breyer and his twin who organized it. I know it, Rose. I know it from the glitter in Eric Breyer's eyes. I know it from his over-casual answers. And apart from anything else, I just know it.
Maybe if they searched the ship again. Unexpectedly, I mean.
Well, I've already arranged that with the captain and the purser. But Breyer knew that the first search was going on.
Well, everyone did. Don't ask me how the news got around, but everybody in the lounge knew it.
But Breyer was the only one who mentioned it. I swear to you, he was enjoying it, Rosie. He was enjoying it.
Well, wouldn't that indicate that Breyer's twin is either not on board at all, or in the hiding place that's 100% safe?
Mm.
Or so he believes. But if they carry out spot searches at unexpected times, they might very well flush it out. If he's there, that is.
But they really did go through the ship with a fine-tooth comb, Rose. I don't see how they could have missed him. The whole crew was on the job and backtracking all the time. They took every precaution.
And there was no twin mingling with the passengers in the lounge. That's for sure.
Ah, the passengers all double-checked and accounted for and no twin there. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What is it, Bill?
It might be the answer. I've got to see the purser immediately.
Here's the information you asked for, Inspector. The radio operator has just brought it through.
Now, thank you, Mr. Everett. Keep your fingers crossed.
I didn't take the time to look at it myself. I thought that since it was your idea, you'd better have it straight away.
Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Everett.
Any luck?
Oh, I don't think Mr. Breyer would describe it as luck.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Eric Breyer, Inspector.
I believe you want a word with me, Inspector Cardwell. Or so the purser says. Well, here I am at your service. Though I hope it won't take too long. I have an appointment to play deck tennis.
Eric Breyer, I arrest you for the murder of Gavin Dudley. And I warn you that anything you say may be taken down and used in evidence.
Really, Inspector? Considering that I was playing table tennis at the time the shot was fired, you can't really expect me to take this seriously.
Your accomplice may have fired the fatal shot, Mr. Breyer, but a premeditated murder in which you both conspired leaves you equally guilty.
Accomplice?
Your twin, Mr. Breyer, in the adjoining cabin, who, I may tell you, has already made a full confession.
You're lying. It's all lies. I don't know what you're talking about.
Mr. Everett, show in Mr. Breyer's twin, please. Come in, Mrs. Selby.
And Mrs. Selby is his twin sister.
That's right. Mrs. Selby. But naturally, that's the name on her passport.
And there isn't the remotest resemblance between them. She's fair, he's dark. And he's much taller than she is. Different names, looking different. There was nothing to connect them at all.
Nothing.
But how did you guess? I took it for granted that it was a twin brother you were looking for.
And Mr. Dudley took it for granted that his heirs were twin brothers. Eric Breyer realized that from something Dudley said. That time when he went asking for money. And that's when the murder plan began to formulate in his head.
But what made you suddenly realize that it was a twin sister?
Well, earlier on, I'd been thinking that twins aren't always identical. And suddenly, my subconscious sent up a message saying that they're not always of the same sex either. That's when I radioed a list of all the married women on board asking for the appropriate maiden names. And Mrs. Selby had previously been Miss Breyer.
You've done a marvellous job, Bill. You really have. But now I want you to try and forget about the Breyer twins and concentrate on your holiday. So why don't you just sit back and relax till lunchtime?
Ah, yes. Why don't I?
Eric Breyer and his twin sister very nearly got away with murder. But thanks to Inspector Cardwell and his subconscious, they didn't. Mrs. Selby had gone to pieces when confronted with the proof that she was Breyer's twin. And with her signed confession, Eric Breyer's cast-iron alibi disintegrated.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea. Produced by Andre Botner.